The Mundus Imaginalis, Module 5, The Lens of Mythology. From Jung's point of view, the method of associations is not the only way to work with active imagination, and he first introduced the idea of amplification in an essay in a collection edited by Freud in 1908, where he stated that he did not want the process of interpretation to proceed entirely subjectively. In 1935, he talked about the need to find the fabric in which the word or the image is incorporated. Here he makes the claim that the amplification follows a kind of natural logic. In 1947, Jung tells us the value of amplification lies in the fact that it can allow us to reach, by inference, the archetypal structures of the unconscious mind that, by definition, are unrepresentable in themselves, must be distinguished by their appearance in culture, and that therefore they can only be evaluated using techniques such as amplification. Amplification, then, is a method of associations based on the comparative study of mythology, religion, and fairy tales, used in the interpretation of images in active imagination. This amplificatory process takes us in a different direction to personal associations, and it is through using amplification that we are able to discover connections to universal cultural themes. Returning to the active imagination we used as an example in Module 4, the Swan Druid Priestess, let's take a look then at what insights amplification might bring. Turning to the world of literature, we might notice the similarity between the swan looking down into the lake and then noticing the other swans as the final scene in the story of The Ugly Duckling by Hans Christian Andersen. We then ask ourselves, does this story resonate or hold relevance for this act of imagination? Interestingly, then, we discover here that the person who conducted this act of imagination is an INFJ, in Jung's typology, and that The Ugly Duckling is a central story in this typology, who often feel as if they don't belong and have difficulty finding community. This active imagination then points the way towards community. Firstly, the community of swans, and then the movement towards the druid priestess and the community we see on the banks of the river. We might then ask ourselves, what type of community is then represented by the swans? What type of community is presented by the druids or Celts? In Celtic mythology, the ceremonial cloak, the tunga, is used because of the swan's association with love, the power of words, and the power of music. Here we discover the realms within which the person may find community. Amplification opens us up to the great teachings that are alive and active in the active imagination images. In the same way that myths express something meaningful about life, the dreaming and imaginative psyche is generating something of our own personal mythology, informing us about our lives, our wounds, our complexes, our values, our beliefs, and so on. Jung tells us, myth is the natural and indispensable intermediary stage between the unconscious and conscious cognition. True, the unconscious knows more than conscious cognition, but it is knowledge of a special sort, knowledge in eternity, usually without reference to the here and now, nor couched in language of the intellect. Only when we let its statements amplify themselves does it come within the range of our understanding. Only then does a new aspect become perceptible to us. A single active imagination image, amplified through literature and mythology, can offer us tremendous insight into our life. These stories tell us about the perils of our situation, the potential positive outcomes, the strategic teachings, and the collective wisdom of generations past. To understand the dynamics behind amplification, we need to take a look at Jung's theory of the collective unconscious. The collective unconscious, sometimes referred to as the objective psyche, refers to the idea that a segment of our deepest unconscious mind is genetically inherited and is not shaped by personal experience. According to Jung, the collective unconscious is common to all human beings and is responsible for a number of deep-seated beliefs and instincts, such as spirituality, sexual behavior, and instincts. The collective unconscious is made up of a collection of knowledge and imagery that every person is born with and that is shared by all human beings due to our ancestral experience. Jung believed that the collective unconscious is expressed through universal concepts called archetypes. Archetypes are patterns of thinking and behaving that are inherited from our ancestors. These mythological images or cultural symbols are not static or fixed. Instead, many different archetypes may overlap and combine at any given time. Some examples of archetypes that Jung proposed include birth, death, rebirth, power, the child, the mother, the father, the hero. Jung considered the mother archetype to be the most important. He thought the archetype not only manifested in literal form of personal mother, grandmother, stepmother, mother-in-law or nurse, but also in the figurative forms of mothers, including a garden, a plowed field, a spring or a well, a country, the church, the earth, the mother of God, the sea, the woods. Jung believed that the mother archetype could contain either positive aspects such as motherly love and warmth, or negative aspects such as the devouring mother or goddess of fate. Archetypes then are inherited, inborn potentials, patterns of thought and emotions, which provide us with a set of tools, skills, capabilities, lessons, opportunities and potential for this lifetime. They form the foundation upon which each individual builds his own experience of life, coloring them with his unique culture, personality, and life events. Since they are unconscious, they cannot be known or experienced in themselves and can only be known indirectly through examining their effects, their manifestations in images and symbols, and by examining behavior, images, art, stories, myths, dreams, and active imagination. Jung was convinced that the similarity and universality of world religions pointed to religion as a manifestation of the collective unconscious. Similarly, morals, ethics, and concepts of fairness or right and wrong could be explained in the same way, with the collective unconscious as partially responsible. Amplifying the active imagination images. To perform this step, go back to the beginning and deal with each image one at a time. Amplifying active imagination characters. Jung discovered that whether known or unknown, people in the active imagination represent some aspect of our personality, projections of some aspect of the archetypal nature of our psyche. Think of each person in the active imagination as an autonomous personality that lives within your psyche. How would you describe the character of the person or people that appeared in the active imagination? What kind of person is this? What are their main characteristics? What does the person want and mean to you? Here, turning to archetypes helps us to see which aspect of our inner world is coming to the fore in the active imagination. Common archetypal figures that appear in active imagination include the persona. The word persona comes from the large carved masks worn by Greek actors as they performed before audiences and means to sound through. These masks, besides identifying the characters in the play, served as primitive megaphones to carry the voices of the actors to the top benches of the amphitheater. In the same way, our persona facilitates communication between ourselves and the world, serving as a bridge between our ego and the external world. The persona is our public personality, the face we show the world. The persona is the mask through which we get to know each other and interact with each other. The persona is a compromise between what society expects of us and our own inner personal identity. Most of us are inclined today to identify ourselves with our inner world, or at the very least with our private selves. The persona is seen as a necessary evil, a mask that needs to be worn for the world out there. And it is this negativity towards the persona as being somehow less than 100% authentic that casts it in a poor light. But it is the persona that is the true carrier of our essential being into the world. It is through the persona that the world comes to know us, not through our inner life. In active imagination, dreams, myths, and stories, the persona is often symbolized by what we are wearing, our clothing, uniform, animal skins or other coverings, or by our own skin, our nakedness. The ego. The ego is the center of consciousness. It is the bearer of our personality, our concept of ourselves. It distinguishes us from others and gives us our sense of identity, our I. The ego stands at the junction between our inner and outer worlds, performing the function of perceiving meaning and assessing value. The ego provides a sense of consistency and direction in our conscious lives and plays an important part in the development of a healthy psyche. Without the ego, there is no driver of the psyche. In active imagination, dreams, myths, and stories, the ego is often symbolized by the hero. The shadow. The shadow represents unknown or little-known characteristics of the ego. The shadow is the inferior being in all of us. It wants to do all the things that we do not allow ourselves to do, or that we don't want to be. It is our uncivilized desires and emotions, our dark side, those aspects of ourselves that exists but which we do not acknowledge or with which we do not identify. It is the unconscious aspect of our personality, usually hidden and repressed. It is all we are ashamed of, such as egotism, laziness, lustfulness, selfishness, greed, envy, anger, and rage. Whatever we see as evil, inferior, or unacceptable, and deny within ourselves becomes part of our shadow. It is in our active imaginations and dreams that we encounter many unsavory aspects of life and shadowy characters that in waking life we may shy away from. We learn from depth psychology that all of these dynamics being acted out in our dreams are aspects of ourselves. In our imaginative state, the conscious sensor is sidestepped and we see directly into the unconscious. Once we learn to interpret and understand our active imagination, we gain a direct line of sight on our shadow. In active imagination, dreams, myths, and stories, the shadow is often symbolized by an inferior figure, a tramp or a beggar, a servant, a drug addict, a pervert, a thief, a gypsy, prostitute, or by anything dark and threatening, such as a zombie. The anima and animus. Jung thought that the psyche was inherently an androgynous entity, regardless of the physical gender, containing and embracing both the feminine and masculine. In a woman, her contrasexuality is masculine and governs her rational thinking function, and we call this the animus. In a man, his contrasexuality is feminine and governs his irrational feeling function, and we call this the anima. In active imagination, dreams, myths, and stories, the anima is often symbolized by a person of the opposite sex to the dreamer, a woman, a sister, or by a cow, a cat, a tiger, a cave, a ship. In addition to a person of the opposite sex, the animus would be symbolized by an eagle, a bull, or a lion. Looking to the characters in your active imagination, you may then discover an aspect of the persona or shadow or anima or animus at play in your life. You can then ask yourself, where do I see the same trait in my personality? What part of me is it that feels like that, thinks like that, behaves like that? Where have I seen it functioning in my life lately? Where have I seen this character at work in my life lately? Looking to the characters in the active imagination, we discovered the Druid priestess. Mythologically, the swan represents the soul amongst the Druids and is associated with the pagan goddess Brigid, who represents the triple aspects of the maiden, mother, and crone. As maiden, she rules over poetry, writing, inspiration, and music. As mother, she rules over healing. As crone, she rules over fire, which is transformation. Activity. Amplify the characters in your active imagination. Looking to the characters in your active imagination, can you identify the aspect of the persona or shadow or anima or animus at play in your life? Ask yourself, where do I see that same trait in my personality? What part of me is it that feels like that, thinks like that, or behaves like that? Where have I seen it functioning in my life lately? Where have I seen this characteristic at work in my life lately? We have come to the end of Module 5. I hope to see your contributions on the Facebook forum